Season's greetings, and thank you for joining us for a special holiday episode of Las Vegas Weekly's Second Helping Podcast. I'm Brock, and I'm here with Leslie and Genevieve to talk some food into your ears. We decided to hold off a bit this month, wait for that crazy election stuff to pass by, if that's even possible, before bringing you this episode of the show, which is all about favorite holiday foods and treats and getting together with family and friends for some memorable meals. It's going to be fun. How are you two doing? Are we done stress eating our way through the election? Did you do that? Leslie, your face is like, I don't want to talk about this.
I feel like, I don't know. I stress eat all the time. I'm like 80-20, like 80% I'm like good, and then 20% just everything goes out the window and I'm eating like pizza and cookies. So it didn't change that much for me, but I was definitely very anxious throughout the whole election week, and that's finally wearing off a little bit.
I went back to stress baking. I stopped for a minute there when it got really, really hot. So there were like 3 months where I didn't bake anything. And then I started baking again when it got cooler. And yeah, no, that's kind of like my stress reliever. I don't necessarily eat or, you know, overeat everything I bake. I give it away to people usually, but I just like the process of baking. Plus it's been so cold and like it warms up my place.
Did you bake something special for the election?
No, I just made some like maple pecan scones to go with how cold it was. And that was really good. And I made a pasty. I'd been watching a lot of the British baking show. Mm-hmm. So I made
big fans, big fans.
Yeah, I love that show. That's a good stress reliever show. It's very calming. Mm-hmm. In a way. So I made a couple of recipes from that show.
Well, I'm not afraid to say that my team won the election, and I celebrated. I celebrated that Saturday by going to In-N-Out for the first time since the pandemic struck. I was saving it for an occasion, and that was the occasion. So In-N-Out and champagne, that was what I had.
Nice.
That was my stress meal, my de-stress meal, I guess you would say.
Did you see that report where they sold more champagne after the election than in 2 years, or in the last 2 years?
I did see that report. It was the least surprising report I've seen in a long time. Well, I don't know if that counts as a special occasion, but we are going to talk about special occasion food and restaurants today. So we thought it's the holiday season. We're going to give you some restaurant recommendations of our favorite Vegas places to take your family or your group or whoever for a festive holiday meal, and some recommendations from places that are perfect for takeout if you're doing it at home and have some special holiday meal packages so you can take it all home instead of going to a restaurant. Obviously, not everybody's going to restaurants right now. And if you are going to go to a restaurant in Las Vegas, follow all the rules. Be aware that you probably need to make a reservation. You're not going to be able to sit in a group larger than six people, and just call wherever you're going to go and figure out all the rules so that you can be a good human and do the stuff that you're supposed to do while you enjoy your festive holiday meal. Leslie, what do you think? Where would you send people to eat this season?
Well, this is such an odd year. So my first thought was to kind of switch it up. And instead of doing, a place that you would go for dinner, to do a place that you might go for brunch or maybe even breakfast. So I thought of Sedel's at Bellagio, which is a New York deli and diner. I don't know if it's a deli, but
somewhere in between.
Yeah. I love that place. And when I start thinking about like where to go, for the holidays, I really think about decor. Like I can't not think about what the restaurant looks like, what the ambiance is like. And to me, Sedel's is like breakfast at Tiffany's. Like it has that Tiffany blue everywhere. And it's just so like cute and quaint. So I would love to spend a holiday there. I think it would just be something that would, I don't know, give a little boost of happiness during this otherwise like really bizarre year. My second recommendation is Red Plate at the Cosmopolitan. And that, you know, that's, I guess, a little atypical too, depending on who you talk to. I know some people really make a thing of doing Chinese food on Christmas. And I did that 2 years ago and ate at Red Plate. And it was one of the best dinners I've ever had. My family loves Chinese food and it is like top-notch, upscale, very expensive. But if you're willing to like pay the extra dollar, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's my favorite Chinese restaurant on the strip. So yeah, that's my recommendation for something a little bit different to your traditional Thanksgiving or Christmas menu.
That sounds good. I definitely think, you know, the ambiance, the design of the restaurant is a big part of what makes it the right place to go this time of year for a party, really. You know, you're going to enjoy yourself with your friends and the people that you care about the most. So you want those special vibes. So that's why my pick is going to be the newest hotspot, which is Barry's Downtown Prime at the Circa Resort that just opened downtown. Pretty exciting for downtown Las Vegas and Las Vegas in general to have a brand new built from the ground up casino open during these crazy times. But Barry's is special for a bunch of reasons. One, the chef is Barry Daycake, he's the fancy, cool Vegas steakhouse guy. He ran Nine Steakhouse for years, helped make that place very special. And now he has come up with this new concept, which is the same kind of food that you would expect from a big Vegas steakhouse, but it's located kind of in the basement, like right underneath the Vegas Vicky's bar where that neon sign is when you first walk into Circa. It's kind of secluded and you walk through these doors and you're just in another world. You know, there's so many restaurants, steakhouses especially, that try to get those kind of vintage Vegas vibes going, but still stay modern. This thing does not feel modern in any way. It feels like you just stepped into a time machine and you went to the Las Vegas of the 60s or 70s. There's a ton of private rooms and little corners where you can have have the space to yourself with your group. It's just a really one of a kind dining destination. So I know it's going to be at the top of people's lists for a long time to go try the new spot. And it's really cool. So that's where I would take my people if I was going out for a big, crazy holiday meal. I am not. I'm going to stay home. And that's why my other recommendation is Honey Salt, because it's a neighborhood favorite out here in Summerlin. And they always have different meal packages to take home. It doesn't matter what holiday it is. I remember earlier in this thing, they had a Cinco de Mayo giant taco party package that we got that was incredible. So good. And they don't even make Mexican food at Honey Salt. So they're doing Thanksgiving to go. They're going to do something after that for Christmas with different options. You can also throw a little holiday party there. They have a giant private dining room that you can make use of. It's a very versatile place. So those are my picks for the holiday season. Genevieve, what are you thinking?
So I love in the fall, I love when the white truffles are in season, you know, when restaurants start importing that so delicious white truffle. And then, you know, you put it in pasta and it's just amazing. So I would probably take people to Italy, which will soon have its truffle festival. And I just love Italy for all the different places that you can go there. It feels, I love open markets. Okay, obviously this isn't open, but it has that feel of like, you know, a market, because it is a market. But I love that you can go to different booths and stalls for, you know, whether you want something sweet or savory. And they're going to have white truffles available pretty soon. Or, you know, another dining in option is Mateo's at the Venetian. I think till the end of the year, they're going to have a special truffle dinner that you can either do. I think there's a prefix one and there's or an a la carte one. I just like a big bowl of pasta with truffles. That's kind of like a good cold weather comfort food.
We were talking about kitchen appliances and special tools before we started recording this Zoom. And Genevieve, you said you have a lot of that kind of stuff. Don't tell me that you have a little truffle shaver in your house.
I don't. But I should have one, yeah. Someday I'll be flush with cash and I can get, you know, like a big truffle thing and just like eat it all, you know, winter.
I bet they have them in Italy. I bet you can buy the shaver as well as the truffle.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. I love the smell of it. And also, I just love the idea of these like dogs that are trained to like look for truffles, right? I mean, I think that's just like so cool. Like you have one job. Yeah, you're going to look for truffles.
Can I sign up for that? I'll do it.
It seems like such a quaint thing, you know, like little truffle sniffing dogs.
Well, now you've got some great restaurants to choose from if you're going to dine out this holiday season. And you can find a whole lot more with the Big Giant Thanksgiving Restaurant Guide that is available right now at LasVegasWeekly.com. But let's be honest, restaurant folks are not the Thanksgiving experts. Are they going to do a great job? Absolutely. But when it comes to Thanksgiving, the real people that you need to talk to are your friends and your family members, the people that you're going to be cooking with and eating some more with and really enjoying all the food of the season with. So we turned to those experts to talk a little bit more about what we've got planned for Thanksgiving, get some ideas for some menu items, and just share some stories. First up, Genevieve spoke with her second cousin, Deb, and reconnected on some family traditions while getting ready for Thanksgiving.
Hey, Deb. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah? So are you excited for Thanksgiving?
Sort of.
Sort of?
Groceries this weekend.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
So I wanted to ask you, we've been talking about kind of traditions for Thanksgiving, and obviously every family, you know, is a little different. And I kind of wanted to ask you what you remember about Thanksgiving and your family growing up. Did your mom cook or did your dad cook?
They both cook, but I actually, for Thanksgiving, I remember it being more my dad doing the turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing and green beans. I think my mom mainly did sides like the vegetables, the corn and green beans and other things like that. And when it was just us in Michigan, but if there were more people, then it would be turkey and a ham.
Mm-hmm. So basically you had a super, just for background, your dad is American and your
yes.
mom is Filipino.
Yes.
So you basically had a very kind of American type Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Traditional Thanksgiving.
Very American traditional Thanksgiving. Eat Thanksgiving very early in the day and then basically watching football.
Yeah.
So, and napping.
Yeah. That is like when I came to this country when I was a teenager, you know, we'd have Thanksgiving, but then, you know, my mom would throw in like Filipino dishes because my dad didn't like turkey. He wasn't used to turkey. And he would always look for pork or fish. And it was always so funny because we were like, why don't we just have a turkey like Americans? Because we want to be, you know, we want to fit in, right? But my dad would always be like, I don't like turkey.
That's funny because Ty's mom, who's Vietnamese, doesn't like turkey. She thinks it's too dry.
Yes, exactly.
So she makes a little, you know, she'll have a little chicken as well if she would make turkey. But usually, well, when we were still living close to our parents, we would have our traditional Thanksgiving at my parents' house, where my dad did most of the cooking. And as I got older, I had more responsibilities of doing side dishes. And my main side dish was always sweet potato. Mm. But we would have it early in the day. And then in the evening, we'd go to his parents' house. And one year she made a turkey and a chicken. And but usually it's maybe a small chicken and we have pho.
Well, that sounds like a good Thanksgiving.
It is. It's like, you know, finish off the day with some pho, and then that was always good. But yeah, I think we've only had turkey at his parents' house maybe one time. And that was just because it was going to be, you know, his parents, me, our family, and then his brother's family. So
yeah. So now that you have your own family, I mean, you have three kids, what kind of Thanksgiving do you usually do now?
Well, I do miss having to just do side dishes because that was so much easier. But now that I have my own family and we don't live anywhere near anyone else, I do everything. I brine the turkey. I make the turkey. I make ham sometimes. I do, actually Mia, she is in charge of potatoes, of cleaning and peeling and cutting. And
she's 15 now, right?
Because of her food allergy, she separates it. So yeah. We make mashed potatoes, some with soy milk and some with regular milk and butter. Mm. And I experimented a couple years ago, instead of cinnamon and nutmeg in my sweet potato, I've been using Chinese five spice, which I highly recommend if you like that warm spice. Oh. Yeah.
That sounds good, actually.
It is really good.
So do you do any, cook any kind of food that has, other than five spice, which obviously is Asian influence, are there any other kind of Asian type dishes that you make
for Thanksgiving? Not on Thanksgiving, but for leftovers, we use the turkey meat, you know, in some pho, some soup. We always try to find things, you know, you reuse things in fried rice, and just try to take all those leftovers and usually make sometimes ponset, if we have visitors. Since we've been here in Oregon, we've had either my brother Sean come visit on Thanksgiving, and my cousin Nimitz came to visit one year. So mainly the traditional American Thanksgiving, and then the day after Thanksgiving, it's back to, you know, how can we make this Asian?
Yeah, that sounds really good. Well, that's awesome. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family this year. I wish I could join you this year, but obviously no flying right now. So, yeah, have a good Thanksgiving with your family.
Well, you and Seb as well.
Cool. Thanks.
So Leslie talked to her friend Paul, who sounds amazing and is an inspiring Thanksgiving cook, as you are about to hear.
You are like my number one foodie friend. And for anyone who has never been out to dinner with us, we just pig out and always go to town. So when I was thinking about who to interview for this, I just knew you would be perfect. So I guess first off, you know, what are your thoughts toward Thanksgiving, toward the food of Thanksgiving? Like, do you love it? Are you like turkeyed out? Do you do anything special for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I mean, I moved to the United States when I was 12, right? So my family and I grew up in Colombia, and we don't have Thanksgiving there. Although now apparently Thanksgiving is a thing there. Like, it's just like now with the internet, they think they're cool and like,
really?
Yeah, like obviously it's only like the rich posh people that are like, let's just have Thanksgiving and like watch the Thanksgiving episodes of Friends, you know, whatever. But for us, it was like, you know, I remember being 12 and moving here, and my sister had already been here for a couple of years. So she had started having Thanksgiving with like her boyfriend and stuff. And the first Thanksgiving was awesome because I've always liked food since I was a kid. And I've never been the kind of kid that eats like chicken fingers and nuggets. I've been like surf and turf at eight, like bring me lobster, bring me mussels, I'm there. So I was like, oh my God, it's a bunch of fancy food, a ton of it all in one day. The whole holiday revolves around food. So I loved it. I don't think I knew what Thanksgiving was like about, like the whole like history behind it until like high school, mm-hmm. but I just knew it was about food when I moved here, and I loved it.
Right.
And I still, it's like a big thing. I like cooking now. So like, it's a big deal for me to like cook for my family. It's like a way of showing love.
Mm-hmm.
When we first got here, we kind of stuck to like the basics, because we were very like immigrants that are like, we need to do Thanksgiving right. How do the Americans do it? So like, they do turkey and they do, you know, green bean casserole, even though no one in my family likes green beans. And they do like that casserole that's like jams with marshmallow on top, which we now think is an abomination and we hate it, but we used to just do it right. We're like, we literally Googled like, how do you Thanksgiving? And we did it. And over the years, we've just actually completely changed it into what actually works for our family and what we like. So turkey is out.
Turkey's out. No turkey. Yeah. Okay.
We've done turkey multiple times, and like my sisters tried a turkey. My mom's tried a turkey. I was like, never again. Then I tried one year. I think I was like 22 the year that I tried doing turkey, and it's always like dry, or maybe only the dark meat is good, and then like the breast is really dry, and there's always a ton of leftovers and no one wants it. So we've completely nixed the turkey now.
Wow. Okay, so what's your main dish and what's the entree?
Yeah, so ham is like honey baked ham is a must.
Okay.
And like my sister's family is Jewish and her husband is Jewish and her kids are kind of like semi kosher, but like they all love Thanksgiving because they're like, it's ham time. It's ham o'clock and they don't care. So we do ham, and then we always do like a second different kind of protein that can change every year. So this year we're going to do a brisket.
Ooh.
But like last year we actually did do turkey, but only the turkey breast. And we did it in like a roulade where we rolled it in with like, I think it had like prosciutto and like stuffing inside of it. And it was kind of like, you just slice little pieces of it
mm-hmm.
rather than the whole turkey. We've done like a pot roast before. My mom tried to do something somewhat Colombian one year. It's called carne en posta, which is like a Caribbean, almost like a Caribbean prime rib, if mm-hmm. you will, where the outside of the meat is really charred and crunchy, and we do it in molasses, which is why it kind of looks black on the outside, but it's like perfectly pink and juicy in the middle.
Oh yeah. That sounds so good. I tried doing something like that, not Caribbean style, of course, but I tried doing like a prime rib roast for Christmas last year, and it came out perfect, but everyone in my household like I don't want to say my household, but like my roommates at the time and stuff like that weren't like the biggest meat eaters. So it was like super rare, but not like, it was like the way it should be, but they were like,
that's the way yeah.
And I'm like, no, this is perfect. And they were like,
right.
I'll have
not everyone. Like some people don't like seeing like the pink in the middle, but like, I would be offended if you gave me an overcooked prime rib. I'd be like, what is this?
Exactly. Is that kind of one of the only times that you guys have done something like more like traditional from Colombia, or do you kind of bring in some other things from, you know, from Colombia into your Thanksgiving as well?
We do like sometimes like side dishes that will have a flair. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my mom's from like more the Caribbean part of Colombia, like Cartagena on the coast. So they do coconut rice there a lot. So it's rice that's cooked in coconut milk, and it has like a sweetness to it, but it also has molasses, so it's also kind of brown, like a brown sweet rice. So we'll do that sometimes. You know, my stepdad is actually Puerto Rican, and they do something called arroz con gandules. Gandules are basically lentils, little green lentils.
Okay.
They're actually really good. So sometimes we'll do that, and we'll do like, I always try to fancy things up. So I was like, yeah, I like your rice, but let's throw some pancetta in there. So I'm like mm-hmm. throwing some like pancetta and like bacon lard in there. And it's like,
right. Better. Yeah. Of course you're adding meat. Like
it's like a veggie rice with lentils. I'm like, but bacon.
Right.
And then my sister who, you know, the one that married a Jewish guy, they're Persian Jewish. Uh-huh. So, you know, something that I've done a couple of years, and I can't believe I do that, but we'll do two Thanksgivings, which her family, like her Jewish side of the family, they'll do Thanksgiving at like 3 p.m. And mm-hmm. I'll go with them so I can eat the Persian food. And then we'll come back and have dinner at my place at like with my family at like 8 or 9 p.m. because we eat late.
Oh my God. Yeah. That sounds amazing.
They do, they do a Middle Eastern turkey. And it
What's
is
that like? Amazing.
Like she does, that's the only time I hate turkey usually. I think it's dry. It's probably because I can't cook it right. She does it. It's perfectly golden and juicy. And it's extra golden, almost yellow, because she puts Middle Eastern spices and a lot of like turmeric and saffron in it. So mm-hmm. like, but the stuffing is something called albalu polo. It's the Persian sour cherry rice. So it's basmati rice flavored with saffron and other things. And it has these little sour cherries that are like sweet. They're a little bit like a cranberry and like a raisin, mm-hmm. but they're, you know, and they're perfectly moist and they like pop in your mouth. I love it.
That sounds perfect for fall too. Like that's when I think of like Thanksgiving, I think of, you know, those just kind of autumn flavors that are like, I don't know. It's just very like festive. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds
like
amazing.
Like sweet potatoes and like, you know, like that combination of like sweet and salty, you know, because a lot of things in the fall will have like, you know, butternut squash with a little bit of cinnamon or like it'll have like raisins in it. So yeah, it kind of goes with that.
That's awesome. So are you cooking this year?
I ordered the ham.
Okay.
And I'm going to taste it. And then my sister's taking care of the brisket. I'll probably be cooking a few of the side dishes. I haven't quite decided. I usually do either Brussels sprouts, you know, like crispy Brussels sprouts with some sort of like bacon and stuff. Or since no one really likes me, means that we've given up on that casserole. We always do like maybe cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, something else like that. So I'm waiting to see what looks good at the market for veggies. I really just like going to the market and seeing what looks good. I don't necessarily go like, I need this.
Right. I totally, especially for holidays, I'm like fresh veggies all the way, except for green bean casserole. That is the one thing where like my mom one time made it with like fresh green beans. And I was like, what is this? Like as a little kid, I was just like, ew, yuck. And I love fresh green beans, but like green bean casserole has to be made with like Campbell's, like condensed like mushroom soup and like, or cream of mushroom soup, canned green beans and like French onions. And it's
right, like the ones that come in the little can.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the simplest thing to do. And I love it. And I have to have it at every mm-hmm. Thanksgiving. But everything else, yeah, I'm the same way. Like I want to do it fresh. I want like Brussels sprouts and sweet potatoes and just, I don't know.
We're into like, I like adding a lot of color to the table. Mm-hmm. I think it kind of like adds to that feast aspect of things, even if being like way too much food on one table. So usually like if we do cauliflower, we're going to do like, we always do a mix of like the purple and orange cauliflower with the white, or you can do like the Romanesco broccolini, which looks like a little Christmas tree. So it's cute.
Yeah, that's such a good idea. I love that.
And if you just roast it all together, like it you know, it already looks beautiful. So it's going to taste good if it looks good. Right.
Right.
We do the same with potatoes. We'll get like the purple potatoes mm-hmm. with the fingerling potatoes and do some sort of roast. Or if we do carrots, we get the, you know, the purple carrots that are like the cute seasonal ones with like parsnips.
Right. You're giving me so many good ideas because I was just on the phone with my cousin, before this and he's coming down for Thanksgiving this year. So last year was my first time ever making the Thanksgiving spread. And I was so nervous, like, but everything went okay. And now I have extra people that are very judgmental and are really going to put the pressure on me. So that, you're giving me some good ideas to like, just add color. If it looks good, it's going to taste good, or at least it'll trick you into thinking it.
I know. And with veggies, you really can't go wrong if you just do like garlic, olive oil, salt and pepper, and like put in the oven enough to be crispy. And if you add color to it, even better. So that should work. For sure. One lesson I've learned is I'll cook. I'm done trying to bake dessert. Like that is a recipe for disaster every time.
Well, and it's like, you can't do both, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you're like freaking Martha Stewart, like that's just too much pressure. Like, you know, have someone else, have your guests bring the dessert, go buy a pie. Like no one needs I love a fresh pie, but like no one needs that when everything else is like made from scratch, you know, right. Or someone else delegate it, give them that duty. Yeah.
Right. I'm like a savory chef. I can't really handle like baking. I'm not good at it, like with sweets. Mm-hmm. So now like we either go for nothing bun cake because my sister's kids like it. Mm-hmm. And if we get like pecan pie, they'll complain the whole night that we ruined.
Really?
Yeah. So we have to get them something cakey and chocolatey. Mm-hmm. Or the one pie they like is Mary Callender's has a chocolate meringue pie.
Okay. You know,
so it's like, it's almost like the chocolate silk pie, but on the top, it's a giant dome of meringue that's like kind of like charred on the outside, like marshmallowy in the middle.
I love me some Marie Callender's. Like their pies are, I mean, they're just, they're always good. It's consistent.
They're on point.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, darling wife.
Hello, husband.
So we were just listening to Leslie and her friend Paul talking about a good strategy for making a big Thanksgiving or holiday meal at home, which is to focus on either savory or sweet. If you're not, if you're going to make a big dinner, maybe make desserts. And that was making me think that maybe we should do that because you, we should do the opposite of that because you make such great holiday desserts. And I don't know how to cook a turkey, and we're supposed to have turkey this year, so what do you think? Should we just make desserts and order food from a restaurant? Is that cheating?
No, I think that's a great idea. The desserts are the most important part of the Thanksgiving meal, in my opinion, anyway. You can't have too many.
Yeah. What do you think is the best holiday dessert that you like to make the most?
That I like to make? That's a good question.
Because I have a long list of your desserts that I want you to make. Pecan rolls, cranberry tart, poached pear galette.
I think the poached pear galette was one of the favorite things that I've made recently. And it's so easy to make and it's so delicious. It's really, it's quite pleasing. And it, I think it's one of those things that would be hard to mess up. One of the things that I really have enjoyed making and eating, of course, over the years is the pumpkin cheesecake that I make. But cheesecake is kind of a fraught dessert situation because it's so hard to tell, you know, when it's exactly right. And that particular recipe is such a big, deep cheesecake. And so, you know, the baking process is a little bit more anxiety inducing, than I would say something simpler like that galette was. But I also, you know, I really like to make things with cranberry, obviously. And, you know, I really like a tart flavor and something where you can really enjoy the special tartness of cranberry. So there are a handful of things that I've made with cranberry that I've really enjoyed as well.
Tartness is good too, because you're going to be eating too much food. That's why you have cranberry sauce with a traditional Thanksgiving dinners, because all this other stuff is rich and buttery and meaty, and you know, gravy is very rich and over the top, so you need that like fresh tarty sweetness to kind of cleanse the palate and cut through all that stuff.
It's a nice thing to kind of break things up, and you're right, it is exactly, you know, it's a great thing for that whole palate cleansing piece. One thing that I was thinking of just the other day was years and years and years ago, I went to a tapas place in San Diego, and they had a creme brulee, and it was a rosemary creme brulee. And it was just delicious. And so that's something that I think would be really fun to make something, and whether it's a creme brulee or some kind of tart or something like that. That's got a custardy element, and really try working with rosemary and see if, you know, if I could pull that off, because that's the taste of the season, I think, right there, rosemary.
That's a good idea. So maybe you should make like three desserts, and we can have those in the morning time on Thanksgiving Day. We can have that for like brunch. Maybe there's a little bit of like, I don't know, bacon, eggs, whatever. And then there's all these desserts. And then it won't even, maybe we don't even have to have dinner. Maybe everybody will just be full. And then we can have more desserts later.
That's it. That's an interesting idea. I will take issue with you lumping cinnamon rolls or pecan rolls in with desserts, because those are made specifically for more of a brunchy breakfast type of enjoyment. Those are not meant to be a dessert in the traditional sense of a dessert.
I'm pretty sure I've had those for all three meals whenever you've made them.
I'm sure that you have. I'm sure you have. But for everybody else, those are really meant to be more of a breakfast or earlier in the day type of treat.
Well, I'm confident that will work it out, because we've done a few Thanksgiving cooks for your family at this point over the last few years. We've had large groups and extra relatives and in-laws, and we've always been operating out of tiny kitchens, and we've made Christmas dinners in tiny kitchens in people's houses, and I think we have our strategy pretty down, at least to the point where we don't kill each other when we're cooking.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be exciting to actually make a full, you know, meal like that in our own kitchen, where we have all of our different tools and whatnot. So
yeah, that's
we don't have a situation where you realize that your parents don't own a microplane and you're trying to figure out how to
grate some zest.
Yeah. How to zest a lemon with no microplane.
That's true. We'll have home court advantage this year, so that's good.
We will. And like you mentioned the other day, my parents were so nice in getting us so many great, you know, kitchen instruments and tools and whatnot. So we have so many good things to work with. And I think I get spoiled cooking here and then going somewhere else and not knowing where things are or exactly what people have. It's been quite the challenge. And I think we've stepped up to it for the most part, but it'll be pretty exciting to get to make all of that stuff and actually be here in our own kitchen.
So you are going to make pecan rolls finally this year? Because you haven't made those in a long time.
This can be the year. This can be the year that the pecan roll reemerges.
You say that every year, though.
Well, I know, but, you know, that's one of those things that you have to either really think it through and get it set up the night before so that your dough is right, or you have to get up really early in the morning.
I'm just going to go to the store right now and get the stuff. How about that?
Okay, that sounds great.
So now we're at that part of our podcast where we talk about the best things we ate this month. The best thing I ate this month was Din Tai Fung, which just opened at Aria in October. I went there a couple of weeks ago and had pretty much the entire menu, it felt like. They have amazing xiaolong baos, which are soup dumplings. I had the pork ones and the crab ones, and they're so delicious if you've never had them. And I also had, the one thing I did have for dessert, which I was really surprised, was a bun. You think of a bun with like pork inside. I've never had a bun with chocolate inside. And it just like blew my mind. It was hot, like dark chocolate, and you bite into this bready bun, and I could have probably eaten like 10 of those. I should have just eaten that instead of everything else that came before. Leslie, how about you?
Well, I also ate at Din Tai Fung this month. Well, last month. No, it was this month. It was November, sorry. And I love Din Tai Fung. I have been waiting. We've all been waiting and talking about it. I think if you go back to earlier episodes of Second Helping, you can hear us being like, oh my God, Din Tai Fung. So yes, the xiaolong bao are incredible. Genevieve and I went the same day you did, but in the evening, and they were out of the chocolate buns. I was like, no. So I didn't get any of those, but honestly, I was so full that it was probably for the best. But, since I'm not just going to steal Genevieve's, best thing we ate this month, I have been perfecting my smoothies, and I will just say my smoothie game is on lock. I make one for breakfast, like every morning. I have like 30 ingredients in my smoothie. It takes me like 20 minutes to make one. And I just like zen out. I just like, it's my routine. It's just what I do. Before we started recording this, Genevieve, I know you had asked me like, what do you put in your smoothies? And I said, what don't I put in my smoothies? Maca, cacao, spinach, collagen, green, like vegetable powder, ashwagandha, a mushroom blend that has like a million different types of like legal mushrooms. Not Brock gives me this look like, hey,
legal in Oregon mushrooms.
Legal mushrooms like chaga and reishi. And yeah, like
all the stuff. So yeah, you're saying that you just have all this stuff and you just like, well, today I feel like this, today I feel like this, or is it always everything?
It's always everything. This really like started when, with the pandemic, like I just wanted to always keep like boosting my immunity, which I know some people say like isn't a real thing, but whatever, I buy into it. And so I didn't want to take like 10 different pills a day. So I just started putting them in my smoothies. And then, you know, I add like berries and banana so that it tastes good. Like they taste really good. Like I'm surprised because with all the crap that's in there, you'd think it would taste like grass or mud or something, but they're delicious.
What's the dominant flavor?
The dominant flavor is usually banana and chocolate. So I would say like from the cacao, and then the banana just makes it sweet. Yeah. And then I do play with them. Like, you know, if I'm like over chocolate and I don't want chocolate that day, like I won't do the cacao, or I'll add like frozen cherries or blueberries and also avocado. It gets real weird, but I swear they're good. I promise. So
avocado is great in a smoothie. I'm jealous now. I want to have all this at my house and choose.
Well, one day avocado. I will make you guys one when it's safe to share food again.
Just drive by, just throw one out the window.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Well, if you go to Whole Foods, you'll probably spend $20 for such a smoothie.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the other thing is I was doing the daily harvest thing and, you know, it's not cheap. And when I broke it down, I was like, I'm spending so much money on this when I can just make it at home. And yes, in bulk, the products are expensive, but in the long term, it's way more cost effective to just do it yourself. So what about you, Brock?
I'm going to do two things that are the best things I ate because I want to. And one of them I cooked, but I did go out, believe it or not. I actually went out and I went downtown and I went to Garage East. And I sat on their patio and drank a lot of really good wine and spent way too much money. But it was fun. And it was, you know, I got to see some people I haven't seen in a long time. And while we were there, we ordered some takeout food from Esther's Kitchen across the street. I got there. They have kind of a new menu at Esther's. And they have, among their pasta dishes, it's called linguine verde. It's basically linguine and clams. But it's green. I'm not sure what's green in there. I don't know what it is that makes it green, but it is delicious. There's mussels and tomatoes. There's indugia in there, which is like spreadable meat. It was so good. I ate it way too fast. I don't even really remember eating it. I just remember tasting that first bite and then it was gone. And it was amazing. But equally amazing was the ropa vieja that I made. I've never tried making this dish before. It's something that I always order anytime I go to a Cuban restaurant or any kind of restaurant that has it. I want to try it. If you're not familiar with it, it's a shredded meat dish with different vegetables that's been simmered for a long time. It's usually made with flank steak and it has these like long strands of beef, and that's where the name comes from. So ropa vieja actually means old clothes. So you're simmering this meat for a long time to get it really tender. Flank steak is kind of tough, but it's cooking in all these spices. And anyways, I kind of cheated because I used tri-tip instead, which is a little easier to cook and get that texture, but it was so good. I couldn't believe it. It was one of those things. And it was another example of when you follow a recipe, the food comes out delicious. So stop trying to make it on your own and just look up a recipe and you'll win every time.
Well, I want to make this thing.
You want my ropa vieja recipe? I want Leslie's smoothie recipe.
Yes, Leslie, send me that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll write one up. No problem.
Cool.
I got you.
Well, that is going to do it for this episode and this year. of Second Helping. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to take an extra long holiday vacation because we deserve it. You deserve it too. I hope you are getting some time to spend with your family and friends, whether it's in real life or virtually, and that everybody out there is staying as safe as possible. Special thanks to our friends and family, Deb, Paul, Maria, for joining us for this holiday episode of the podcast. And of course, very special thanks to Sonia Barcelona for letting us use her awesome song, Violent Water, on Second Helping. You can listen to more of her stuff at artofsonia.com. You can find past episodes of this podcast at lasvegasweekly.com/podcast. You can also listen and subscribe to Second Helping on Las Vegas Weekly's YouTube channel and on Apple Podcasts. We will be back in 2021 with more fun food talk, and we hope to see you then. Have a great holiday season.